This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to the Escape Pod. It is a, well, I can't say it's a sunny day. I usually like to say that it's sunny in my mind, but I don't know about everyone in listener land, but I'm a bit sick of this long, cold, icy winter that is refusing to let us out of its death-like embrace. It's time for summer, and we'd all like to see it. Racing Carnival is over. That means there should be summer knocking on the door. We hear that's coming next week, but we're gonna wait and see. Today on the Escape Pod, you'll probably notice that Jo's not here again. She's still in Vietnam. Jo has had a thrilling ride. I'm not going to give too many details away because it will be her story to tell when she's back on the Escape Pod next week. Jo has not been affected personally by the typhoon that's been going through, which has caused so much horrible damage to the Philippines. Although she has been affected in terms of her travel, she had to be taken from the hotel by the Vietnamese army and taken up to the hill area and with a lot of other foreign tourists to be looked after in safety. So she does have a lot of exciting stories to tell. She's perfectly fine and she's very much so enjoying being in Vietnam, even though that it is a challenging time and it's a sad time in the region. There are plenty of places to go if you're looking for avenues to help with the Philippines, especially. The Red Cross is one of them. Just Google it, redcross.com.au. There's a link right on the front page and you can help donate. And also Facebook are doing a outreach with the Red Cross for the Filipino survivors and helping them get back on their feet. It's been a very, very challenging time and our thoughts are with them. Today on the Escape Pod, we have a non-vegetarian friendly show, and I think that's to say the least. There is a beautiful island at the south of the mainland of Australia called Tasmania, which is pretty much an idyllic paradise of holiday making opportunities. Now, Tasmania has got a long, rich history of acknowledging its nature, its ability to produce fine food, fine dairy, fine many things. And the Agrarian Kitchen is one of those organisations that makes the most of that. Today's guest is Steve Gibson. Steve and his partner Gabrielle have been twice to the Agrarian Kitchen. And I think I'm going to ask Steve to tell us a little bit more. Steve, good afternoon and welcome to the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here.
Glad to have you on board. We have a very... we have ice cream coming in from the last show. Thank you, Pete Dillon, and thank you very much to Gundowring Finest Ice Cream, licorice ice cream. There's no unicorn tears? I mean, they make some exotic blends. Back to the Agrarian Kitchen, and we'll get back to our ice cream during a music break later on in the show, and thank you very much, Cravings, for that. The Agrarian Kitchen, tell us about it.
So the Agrarian Kitchen was established by Sydney chef Rodney Dunn. He was originally from country New South Wales, and after going through his apprenticeship and becoming a chef, including a stint, I believe part of his apprenticeship was at Tetsuya's, he decided that he wanted to get out of the city life and do something different. And that ended up being buying an old schoolhouse in Tasmania, just approximately 45 minutes out of Hobart, and setting up a small farm. It's set on about 5 acres, and setting up a cooking school attached to that farm. So effectively, he runs 1 and 2 day cooking classes that involve preparing everything about a meal, from going out into the farm and collecting the produce. In the case of some of the courses, can't sugarcoat this, breaking down a whole pig carcass, which is one of the courses that we performed, and going through and actually turning every single piece of that into something to eat.
Okay, so this farm is a working farm, it's a tourist farm, and it does a whole bunch of things. And obviously there's somebody, he and his wife, I believe.
Yes, that's Rodney and Severin.
Yeah, and they're both highly skilled in the kitchen. So they are doing a few things. They're sourcing locally.
They source locally for anything that doesn't come from the farm. Now, the aim of the school is to try and produce as much of the actual food produce on the farm itself. However, things such as, local wines are sourced, anything that can't be grown on the farm or in sufficient quantity is sourced from the local area.
Excellent. Let's go back one step. You have, through your work, done a lot of travel.
Yes.
And that's been a nature of the work, so constantly around Australia and internationally as well. That's a thing you do. So on top of that, you're also a bit of a foodie, and I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, I do like my food.
Yeah, but also as part of your work, you entertain a lot of fine dining.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Being in corporate sales, there is quite a lot of, maybe not as much as there should be, avenues and options for our fine dining experiences, whether it's taking somebody out to try and introduce them to some new business or congratulations on some great things done.
So that's given you a lot of experience and a rather rarefied palate, which is quite a blessing to have. So, and you enjoy food, you love food. And so you and your partner are both foodies who have decided to go out of your way and learn more about creating food at home.
Absolutely. So, look, one of our longer-term goals, once we can get out of the corporate rat race, is to actually buy some property ourselves and to do more of this type of, selective paddock-to-plate type.
Right. Experience.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For retail sale, for experience sale, and for hosting as well, I'm assuming.
Potentially. Again, these are further off things that we want to do. And it's still a bit fluid at the moment. But again, that is our longer term goal, is to be able to set up an operation where we can actually make that our lives.
Travelling for food and learning about food, preparing food, has become extremely popular with travellers, especially for short breaks. This is how, I'm assuming... No, actually, you tell me. How did you find the Agrarian Kitchen? Was it in those terms?
So, look, as you know, one of the things that I like to do when I'm sitting waiting in an airport or on a flight is I would always pick up a copy of The Gourmet Traveller.
Right.
And I read in a little byline somewhere buried in the, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, there was a discussion about the Agrarian Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was one of those things that, yes, I really want to do that. Wholeheartedly jump into it. It was make an inquiry, no, can't get in. So over a 2-year period of half-hearted attempts, Gabrielle decided that she was going to take over the organisation. And so I was given a Christmas present of the 2-day whole hog masterclass course.
Okay, so at a place like the Agrarian Kitchen, do they do accommodation for you as well? Do they look after you?
They can organise that, but that's not really what they're there to do. However, there are areas. So the Agrarian Kitchen is about 10 minutes out of New Norfolk.
I don't know where that is.
New Norfolk is about half an hour west of Tasmania. It's in Tasmania.
It's
of Hobart.
Very wet.
Of Hobart.
Right. You fly into Hobart.
Exactly. Yep. You fly into Hobart. Probably best to pick up a hire car.
Okay.
And then head west to, as we said, for about half an hour along the Derwent River to New Norfolk. Now, we stayed at a place called the Woodbridge on the Derwent, which is part of or a member of the Small Luxury Hotels Group.
Okay.
So that was our first visit. Our second visit, we went the complete opposite and stayed in a bed and breakfast operated by a pair of an old Scots couple.
Oh, lovely.
So we've seen both ends of the accommodation that we can have there.
Well, I'm assuming in this area your options and the opportunities would be quite rich pickings because
you've got a lot of scope for, from our first visit, the top end of where you can stay, what you want to do, right through to, more comfortable, sitting in somebody's lounge room with the people who operate the place.
Beautiful.
So, and everything in between.
Excellent. So it's a bit of a choose your own adventure. You have booked in for 2 days. Are they 2 full days?
You could say the first day is very much a full day. So it starts at 7 a.m. And you'll be going until about 5-ish.
Oh, it's a full day.
That's the first day. The second day tends to be about a half to three-quarter day.
Right.
So most of the preparation is done in the first day in terms of actually preparing what the various meals that we'll be cooking. So, for example, you know, on the first day of the whole hog course, we were doing our sausages so that they would be ready for the second day, making stocks. So that we could then use those in meals that we were going to be preparing the second day. So a lot of the, shall we say, grunt work and preparation is done on day one.
Is that a gag that gets used a lot during
Possibly.
The whole hog experience?
And then we have lunch. And effectively, from that point on, it's a much more laid back. We've had a few glasses of wine, so there's no sharp knives anymore.
Especially if there's spousal tension.
Oh, none with us.
Hold that thought. We've got a lot of questions about the Agrarian Kitchen and travelling for food. You're on Joy 94.9. You're with Mark on the Escape Pod. Jo's in Vietnam, but she's listening online like you can. If you want to listen to us online and you're currently listening to us on the radio, you can tune in to joy.org.au/listen live. It's that easy. You're with Mark. Jo is currently away and she will be back next week. Today's guest is Steve Gibson, who has come back from the Agrarian Kitchen twice and was just telling us about how things work. So let's go through. You get to the Agrarian Kitchen, you got your beautiful accommodation in Tassie. What's day one? How does it function?
Okay.
Do you rock up and they point at Babe in the corner, give you a knife, stack of wood, go for it, or is it a bit more hands-on?
So when you arrive, the first thing, you're greeted by Rodney and Severin. Coffee's all round. Just as things start to get organised and they prepare the kitchen for the classes. So in the case of the whole hog class, Marcus Vermey, who is a well-known butcher in Tasmania and partners with Rodney in presenting the whole hog masterclass, comes in with a whole hog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this the pig in question will have been bred and raised on Rodney's farm. So he actually raises sufficient pigs that there is one for each month of the season that these courses run. So he comes in.
Okay, so this course is something that happens once a month?
Correct. During the colder months.
Book in early, so it's a winter thing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So,
I'm sure we'll put the website details up on joy.org.au/escapepod in our podcast section. So I'll make sure that's up there today if anyone wants to go. It's the Agrarian Kitchen.
Theagrariankitchen.com.
.com, not .au?
Not .au.
Done.
But the Agrarian Kitchen, not Agrarian Kitchen.
Cool. Thanks.
Yep. So
kitchen gets prepared.
Kitchen is prepared. We're all organised. We've had our coffee, and Marcus comes in with the pig. As said, it's a pig that has been bred and raised on the farm. In this case, it's a for those who know their rare breed pigs, a Wessex Saddleback.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
It means it's tasty.
Okay. So this is not for our vegetarian listeners at the moment. If you are vegetarian, it's probably better to pretend that this is a tofu fake pig. Or marzipan.
Yeah.
Whatever your tastes are.
The pig itself has been taken to a licensed local abattoirs, mm-hmm. where it has been humanely put down, cleaned, and prepared for use in the kitchen.
Now, with the Agrarian Kitchen, there's an element of sensitivity and humanity with everything. They really like to honour the animal.
Absolutely. So, again, it's the whole idea that, the animal itself should have as good a life as it possibly can. They're well looked after and cared for. And that really shows in the way that Rodney and Severin, take you around the farm and show you the work that they've done in producing this this great place.
Mm.
In addition to the way that through the cooking class, we actually use every single piece of the pig from nose to snout. I think by the end of the class, we'd actually calculated out how much wastage there was, and it was something like about 1.5 kilos out of a 60-kilo pig thereabouts.
Right.
So it really is using almost everything that you possibly can.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
Because that's probably the most challenging aspect for most people doing something like this, because mm-hmm. when you, even if you're very aware of where food comes from and how meat or animal products are derived, I think, was that the most challenging part for you? I think that would be for a lot of people.
Possibly. I mean, if, again, it's one of those areas that I've, you know, definitely, I wouldn't say taken an interest in, but made my business to know,
right,
is, you know, where the food that I eat comes from. I want to know that, you know, where an animal has been killed for something that I'm going to eat, that it's had a good life, it's been well looked after, it's not pumped full of chemicals, hormones, antibiotics, and so forth. So that, you know, not only is the welfare of the animal in question fully catered for, but also that I know that I'm eating something that is as close to what it should be as is possible.
Fair enough. So and that's exactly what they're presenting you.
Exactly. Mm. So here is the absolute base ingredient. And then we take that and actually start to produce some of these fantastic dishes that were put on offer, and some things that you wouldn't normally think of as something to eat. So, for example, a pig's ear salad.
No, I would not have thought of a pig's ear. How would you do that?
Okay, so the salad, it's a fairly crisp radicchio and apple, and the pig's ears themselves are cleaned and then cut into very fine strips and then deep fried.
Okay.
They become like little...
shards of bacon.
Exactly, crackling crisps, which are then sprinkled over the top, and look, not a lot of flavour, but definitely texture, a lot of crunch, and it really works well with the salad that it's presented with. Okay. But again, it's, you know, the reaction of most people was, oh, pig's ears are just for dogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, no, here's something that you can do with them that gives them a bit more value.
Mm. Okay. So what about curing, and what about bacon and all those other... Sure. Is that part of the program?
So there is... part of what you do is make some bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a salt-cured as opposed to a nitrate or nitrite-cured bacon. And that's using a piece of the pork belly. So we create a spice mix, and again, as part of the class, there is some direction as to what are the appropriate flavours, but it's very much up to you as the individual who's in the class to decide on what flavours you actually want in your particular bacon cure.
Sure.
Mixing up the spices, mixing up the salt, and then the bacon is put away until the following day. So effectively, it needs to cure for about 5 days. So it's left overnight in their fridges. That's then vacuum bagged for us to take home ourselves.
Okay. So I don't know how big a pig, a Wesselback flickin' Dörfer pig or whatever they're called.
Wessex Saddleback?
Yes. I don't know. Are these large animals?
No. So these animals are, let's see, if you were to stand next to one, it'd probably be just coming up to just above your knee.
Okay.
However, when they are hanging from their hind legs, you'd be looking at about 6 to 8 foot length of animal.
Right, okay. Yeah. So they're not those huge, big...
No.
No, okay. So you and how many people do one animal? Is it a bunch of people in the class?
There is. So it's the one pig for the whole class.
Mm-hmm.
And if memory serves, I believe there was approximately 12 to 14 people in the class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a large class. That is the capacity of the classroom / kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's absolutely more than enough pork by the end of it for all of those people,
right,
and plenty to take home.
Okay, that was the other question. So nothing gets wasted, and this is
absolutely
all part of the experience.
Not.
Okay, so you arrive, they prepare the kitchen, they bring this animal in. What's the first thing? Is it sharpening knives? Are they that detail-oriented, or do they do things according to what you as a group want to do? How is it structured?
Okay, so the structure is that there is a menu of food that will be produced over the 2 days.
Okay, so first it was bacon, as you were saying.
Yes, so...
Sausages.
So... If I just go back to the menu, just give me...
Sure. And you have a couple of delicious menus here.
I do.
They not only do pork, right? They also do other varieties of meats.
There are other classes. So a second one that we've been to is the Birds of a Feather, which is all about the various types of birds, game birds, chickens, quails, geese, ducks, and so forth. So now that is a bit, in some regards, more hands-on than the pork class.
Right. Okay. We'll leave that to the listeners' imagination to interpret.
Yes. So, but if getting back to the whole hog masterclass.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the pig's ear salad, or the parsley, radicchio, apple, and crispy pig's ear salad.
Right.
To give it its proper name.
So do you prepare the whole thing, like or is somebody off to the side preparing stuff?
Or do you have to cut up the radicchio? All of these dishes are made up of multiple components. So a few people will be given tasks to perform to actually produce the meal.
Right.
So for one dish, for example, the... Looking here, the rolled pork loin stuffed with Calvados prunes. There will be somebody who is tasked with preparing the pork loin. Now, that will be taking a middle section of the pig, removing the belly, boning it out, rolling it up.
So you and the rest of the class work together as, and of course having a chef there or two chefs, they understand that process of military precision of kitchen management.
Exactly. So Rodney will actually not so much assign tasks. Yeah, there'll be a quick, what would you like to be working on? And then the tasks that will help you get that get through that will then be assigned. So again, for one dish, there might be four people working on the various components of that, whether it's, finely chopping herbs, creating a stuffing, filleting and cleaning the cut of meat that's going to be used for that dish. So it's very much a team effort. Everybody is hands-on with some various parts of the meal.
Right.
So, again, for some of the... for one of the meals where we were actually creating empanadas, there were pretty much everybody was involved with that one, rolling out the dough and so forth, and then grilling their own. So, again, depending on what's actually being cooked at that particular point in time, will determine how many people are involved with the different dishes and what they're doing.
So I'm assuming you eat what you're producing during the day. So your first meal is an early lunch?
So on the first day, it was lunch. And that's generally around, I think it was about 2 o'clock-ish.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of work that had gone in before that. But then it's a fantastic meal of everything that's been cooked with matched wines from the area for each course.
We're going to come back to wines and what happens at the end of the day and day two. I want to thank Mary very much, first-time listener to Joy 94.9. Thank you very much for listening in, and we thank you very much for your lovely comments. That's fantastic, and we hope you listen to Joy many, many, many more times in the future. And you know what you can do? You can become a member of Joy. We're a community station. We're free to air, but it's not free to go to air. And people like Mary, who we would love to have join us for a very long journey as a listener, can join us as well. For a family, it's $96 for an annual membership. A full membership is $72. If you're carrying a concession card, it's only $36. If you're under 18, it's $22. And that's a year-long membership. You can listen to us on Joy 94.9 on the FM dial if you're in Melbourne. Or if you're gadabouting and globetrotting, you can listen to us, joy.org.au/listen-live. You can listen to us anywhere you want to go. And we also have an app. So, Mary, thank you for listening, and you have all these opportunities to listen to us as much as possible, and we really do appreciate you being part of the family. Now, we're talking to Steve today on the Escape Pod, and Steve and his partner, Gabrielle, have been to the Agrarian Kitchen in Tasmania, and we've been through how hands-on it is and this learning experience. And so we've looked at the menu, and the menu's got some interesting things, and once again, this is non-vegetarian friendly, so just replace pork with... soy-based product of your choosing.
Textured vegetable protein.
Textured vegetable protein of your choosing. So there's, as you were talking about, the parsley, radicchio, apple and crispy pig's ear salad, which does sound, once you've described it, a lot more delicious than what it looks like on a menu. Rolled pork, you were mentioning before, with the Calvados prunes. Chinkiang vinegar pork ribs, pressed pig's head, and that's where I put the brakes on, Steve. You're going to have to explain what that means, because I have seen some 1980s horror films, and I think they were called pressed pig's head.
So,
Look, the reckoning.
A lot of European cultures have got variations on this, and I guess pressed pig's head is the closest description to what it actually is. Mm. Let's see, the Italians call it coppa di testa. The French call it fromage de tête. And again,
head cheese.
Head cheese, exactly. And it really comes from the term fromage, which actually means pressed or moulded. So...
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So effectively what you're doing is you boil a pig's head, the whole head, for a period of time until pretty much it's falling to pieces. You collect everything that's come off, so that's the various pieces of meat from the cheeks and the jowls.
Is it boiled in tears?
Of course not. It was quite happy about this.
Was.
Was. So, no, it's boiled in a simple stock. So yep. Water, onions, carrots, just some basic stock flavourings. once it's boiled sufficiently and cooled... the meat, the skin, and some of the fat is collected from the pot. Mm. And it's chopped up and turned into what you could closely associate with a terrine.
Okay.
So there is predominantly meat, but there is also some of the softened skin, which gives it a sticky gelatinous texture, and some of the stock. It's then placed in a terrine mold, set... and then sliced as you would a terrine or something of that sort.
Okay.
When we walked in, we weren't thinking that we were going to be liking it, but it was actually one of our favourites of the day. Mm. It was
really
fantastic.
Because that's the interesting thing about food. It's like laws. You don't really want to see what goes into making them, but they're pretty good when they come out the end. We do have a question that's come in from Tamara of Elwood. She said, what happens to the bum bit? Does that come a part of a sausage or... I'm not going to read the rest of that because I know where she's going.
Okay, so the rump...
What are the bits that you throw away? I think we're going to paraphrase Tamara okay. from Elwood's so naughty that, language.
The bits that we throw away are, there's very little of it. There is some of the pieces around...
the lower digestive tract?
Exactly. However, in another occasion, you would actually use those for doing...
Casings.
The stuffing casings, exactly. There were some bones. There were some, for example, the nails on the pig's trotters. Again, there's no use for those, but the rest of the pig's trotters were used.
Right.
All the bones were used, so they were used to make stocks. Really...
pretty much all of it.
Pretty much all of it. I okay. don't recall using the tail.
As a prop. So at the end of the day, the evening, you have paired wines and so forth.
Exactly.
And then the next day you come back, and I'm sure you're not doing the same thing all over again.
No. So some of what has been produced is for use first thing in the morning. So as an example, there is a dark stock that's made from the pig's bones, and that is used to make baked beans for breakfast the following morning.
Okay.
So
now this is a more application of the process.
Exactly. So having gone through and created the stock from roasting the bones, boiling them, and then drawing off the liquor from the boiling process, you then slow cook beans, various types of beans, kidney beans, broad beans and so forth, overnight in this stock. So that by the morning,
you've got
this... thick, unctuous, delicious, greatest baked beans that man has ever seen.
Oh, okay, fantastic. So you and your partner, this was a gift from her to you.
This was.
And the great thing about this is you're a foodie, this is great experience, you're taking a lot away from it, and I'm sure you have had the opportunity to apply some of these skills.
Absolutely. So we now, buy our pork in larger sections. We have bought ourselves, we have a chest freezer. We have other things so that we can actually do some of the larger processes, work with larger cuts of meat. And be a bit more experimental in what we're actually putting on.
Well, this is one of my favourite things about travel is getting some skills or experiences or takes on life that become part of you forever and part of your history forever. So what a great experience and beautiful Tasmania.
Yes.
And it's not just the Agrarian Kitchen.
No, so actually we arrived a day before. We were due to start at the Agrarian Kitchen. So our first day there was a trip out to the Gordon Dam, and we abseiled out it.
Okay. Which is probably a good idea that you did your abseiling prior to the pork producing part.
Well, might not have made it. Might not have made it to the Agrarian Kitchen.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But no, it's one of the highest commercial abseils in the world, 140 metres. And going into it, it's a little bit weird because the dam itself is concave. So once you get down about a metre or two, you're just floating in air. You're not actually, no feet up against the dam wall.
So what do you do, swing?
Pretty much.
Oh, really?
You're swinging on a rope and you're letting yourself down on that rope for 140 metres.
Yeah. I'm going to go to a message from our sponsors. This is the Escape Pod with Mark. Joe's currently in Vietnam. We have Steve, who has been thrilling us with stories about the Agrarian Kitchen and experience in Tasmania about creating food and very much so hands-on. And then I kind of lost my lunch when he was talking about abseiling, which for, I don't even have thick socks. I have such a fear of heights. Steve, tell us more about this abseiling and then what else you did in Tassie.
Sure. So, again, this is probably more my partner's preference than my own. She decided that while it was great to have a foodie week, as we were, that we needed to do some other things. And one of those was abseiling. Gabrielle has bungee jumped. She scuba dives.
She's active.
Exactly. Me, I'm more a food and wine kind of guy. But so, yes, as part of our trip, she organised for us to go out to the Gordon Dam. It's about a 1.5 hour drive out of Hobart. Mm-hmm. Once there, had a look at what we were supposed to ascend down and freaked out.
I can't even imagine it. I would have needed something else that Tasmania has in abundance prior to that. They're very fine, world-class wines. Did you do much with the wineries?
We did. We took a couple of different wine tours around the Hobart area. So one of our favourites was the Coal River Valley. And there we saw wineries such as Pooley's and Puddle Duck, Frogmore Creek. So some really diverse styles of wine because, again, it's an area where you've got a number of different microclimates. So each vineyard will have a climate that is very particular to just that vineyard. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you get some. So for Pooley's, there are some outstanding Pinots to be had there. Whereas for Frogmore Creek, the whites will really stand out. Some beautiful cold climate Chardonnays, Sauvignon Blancs.
Nice. We've got a SMS in from Marisa from St Kilda. She wants to know that she said Tasmania is a place you fly to. How can you get all of your purchases home? It's a good question. Do some of these wineries have very good programs to ship things back? Is that something that happens? Because it's not like you're driving to the Yarra Valley and you pop in your car.
Correct. So, yeah, so one of the problems that we had was that in flying Jetstar, you are required to actually pay for every gram of luggage that you take back. So a number of the wineries would actually provide a facility to ship this for you. So you would go in there, go through your wine tastings, order what you'd like, and then they would unship it for you, significantly less than it would cost as additional baggage on a plane.
Yeah, a good question, Marisa from St Kilda, and I think that sounds like a person who enjoys wine.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your SMS. Tasmania has a lot of other things. Abseiling, fantastic scenery, and having a look at the Agrarian Kitchen's website, it's breathtakingly beautiful in the area. What would you suggest for a long weekend? Say, okay, Agrarian Kitchen is 2 days. You suggest like a 5 day to Tassie week?
So we typically do a 3 to 5 day. Mm. On one occasion, we went down for the Birds of a Feather. We also spent a day at Mona.
What were your impressions of Mona? I've heard nothing bad. I've only heard people absolutely speak so positively and
well, it's
far more eloquently.
Well, I think, you know, It is absolutely outstanding. Some of it is confronting. However, there is also an on-site winery, brewery, and restaurant. So I found starting off with the wine and beer tastings, having lunch, and then going through the gallery was a really nice way to do it because you've been just softened up enough for some of the exhibitions that were a little bit in your face.
Challenging?
Yeah, challenging. Perfect. Yes.
Yeah, okay. But art can do that.
Absolutely, and should.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so Mona's a good thing, Hobart, and we've done our agrarian kitchen. We've got our bottles of wine. We've got our bacon and the world's best baked beans all with us. We've got our hire car. We're going around Tassie. What would you do for a couple, and what would you do if you were two couples?
Sure. So look, one of the things that we had a look at as a day trip was Bruny Island. So that was...
I don't know Bruny Island. Where?
Bruny Island is south of Hobart. So you head to a town called Kettering, about half an hour drive south of Hobart, take the ferry across to Bruny Island. Now, there's not a lot on Bruny Island in terms of variety, but what's there is fantastic. So it's a beautiful little island off the coast. And on there, they have the first thing you see is the Bruny Island Smokehouse. So there they do their own hot smoking of various produce, including the local salmon, wallaby, and various vegetables, things of that sort. So that's absolutely delicious. There is an oyster farm. So if you like your oysters, you can actually watch them picking them out of the sea.
Oh, for real?
And then, yeah, absolutely.
Do they smoke the oysters there?
I don't
know. And then beat them to... infinity and put them in a can with a roll key ship it back.
If they do, we didn't see that.
Right. That's the only way I know smoked oysters, I think.
So we started off at the Bruny Island Winery.
Yeah.
Picked ourselves up a couple of bottles of sparkling. On the way back, stopped in at the Bruny Island Cheese Factory, which is, item of note, the only cheese that I believe in Australia is made from unpasteurised milk.
Well, they must have special permission for that.
No. They found a loophole. So,
good on them.
As part of the production of the cheese, there is a process called cooking the curds, which happens after you've actually set the cheese. Mm-hmm. What that does is it raises it to a temperature that is the equivalent to pasteurization. So,
okay.
So the typical idea is that you would pasteurize your milk,
yeah,
and then make cheese. What they've done is they've made the cheese with unpasteurized milk, and then pasteurized the output. So okay, you get so
It's the curds before it sets and becomes cheese. It's the milk solids.
It's that in-between point. So it's the point at which it's a sort of like the curds, the gelatinous.
Miss Muffet's favourite bit.
Exactly. And then you cook those curds to drive out some excess moisture. And it's that is the equivalent of a pasteurisation. And this is how they've been able to produce an unpasteurised milk cheese.
And how does that taste? What's the difference?
Or
what's the thrill, the furtive thrill of having such illicit cheese?
Oh, look, I mean, look, we can import unpasteurised milk cheese. Roqueforts, Taleggios, all of these are made with unpasteurised milk. The fact that we can't make them in Australia, I think, is a bit ridiculous when we can import them. However, you get a broader variety of the cultures in the milk than your pasteurised milk, where you actually have to add those to it. So as a result, you get a much more representative flavour of the local area of the animals that are producing the milk.
Huh.
So it allows you to create a cheese that is much more location and type specific, rather than here is our standard packet of Floridanica milk starter culture. In it goes, and you get the same flavour, you know, as everyone else.
I am looking forward to going to Tassie. It doesn't sound like a dieter's delight, the way you're describing it.
No.
So maybe I'll skip the hire car and get some rollerblades and pop on some bike shorts and get around that way.
Organise maybe a marathon after you've done it, after you've been to Tasmania.
It That'd sounds be a good delicious way to work and through. Amazing. So, but you could do this as a very romantic couples thing, or you could go with a couple of friends, or just a group of friends and do all this kind of stuff.
It's take very the agrarian kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, there were groups of friends who were doing this together. So it's you work in teams, typically, depending on who you're there with. So for Gabrielle and myself, we were working on tasks that required two people for the most part.
Okay.
For some of the other people, there was a group of three, and they were working on other recipes that required a few more hands. So again, it's there for whether you were there by yourself, as we had one of the guys at our whole hog class, a couple, as Gabrielle and myself, or a group of friends. So really, it suits everyone.
Brilliant. We've got another message from our sponsors. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You're in, yeah, that's it. Thank you, Guy Grossi. You wonderful foodie, you. We love a bit of Guy Grossi. Steve, thank you very much for coming on the Escape Pod. We have the amazing Fender Bender Boys coming on to talk all things queer and cars. Quires, I think it's called, what the kids say. Steve, got any final words about Foodie Tassie tours?
Look, if food is anything of an interest, and even if it's not, get yourself down to Tasmania. It is absolutely fantastic, and there is something for everyone to do. But if you're a foodie, there is a tremendous amount for you to do.
Yeah, it sounds like a whole bunch of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I don't know what you've got planned for the rest of the day, Steve. It's actually, when we started the show, we had bleak grey skies, and now the sun's peeking out, and it's looking like the day's warming up. So I think I might be popping my G-string on and going for a roll around on Port Melbourne Beach or something. I don't know. What about you?
I'll probably be setting up the smoker that I'm just about to buy.
You are a foodie, aren't you? Is this any of your pig product from, or is that all gone?
Oh, no, that's all gone. So this is some other pork products that have been taken out of the freezer today.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening in to Escape Pod today. We've got the Fender Bender Boys coming in just a minute. And after that, we've got Hannah with Little Fish, beautiful Australian music. And then we've got the Chappelle Show, hip hop and gay news and so forth with Chappelle. She's a fantastic part of the team and doing a lot of work for Enough. So keep listening for that. We look forward to hearing very many more things. SMS us on 0427 joy949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.